All right, brethren, let's turn to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, and I want to look at the first 12 verses with you. We see here how the Lord burdens his children to seek for grace. He makes us to know our need of his grace, and he brings us to desire it, to need it. To need that grace of God. Our Lord said in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." And so Ruth here is a sinner seeking grace. She needs grace and mercy. And that's true of every child of God. We all need grace and mercy from our God. We have a need. We're starving here in ourselves. We have no ability to feed ourselves, to care for ourselves, to give ourselves the things that we have need of to stand before our God. But you who are burdened by the Lord because of your sin and because you're needy sinners and are brought to seek God for grace and mercy, you shall be filled. You shall find that which you seek for, because the Lord is the one who gives that burden to his child, because he intends to be gracious and merciful to them. Now in this chapter, we're introduced to Boaz, and Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, and he is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the near kinsman redeemer of his people, the people of God, chosen by God and given to Christ before the foundation of the world. And Boaz has that which is necessary to redeem Ruth, which is a picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all things necessary, who is a mighty man, a wealthy man, able and willing to redeem his people from their sin, to deliver us back from our captivity, to bring us into the knowledge and the fellowship of our God in peace. In peace. And so our Lord gives us a picture here in Ruth and Boaz, to know that just as Ruth here, who goes out to the fields of barley to seek that bread to nourish her, to give her that which she needs, and to do so in a gracious, protective manner, in a providing manner, just as Ruth does that, so we are given that need. So we are given that hunger. So we go out seeking the grace of our God, that we may be fed, and he intends to do that for all his people, and he does it. He brings it to pass. I've titled this message, Led to Christ. Led to Christ, as in we're being brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these first three verses, we see the needy sinner seeking and finding grace. And then from verses 4 to 12, we'll see that time of love that the Lord has for his people and how he reveals his care, his love, his interest in you, his bride, to give you salvation and to provide everything you need. So let's read here in verse 1. Ruth 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And so here we're being introduced to Boaz. Boaz is the kinsman, the close relative of Elimelech, and that means he's able to redeem Ruth. He is able to redeem Ruth. He's a mighty man, he's a wealthy man, and he's willing and able, therefore, to redeem Ruth, to provide for her and to love her and to make her his own. Now, the law of the Redeemer comes from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25. We read that if thy brother be waxen poor, if he becomes poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, the land being his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem it, that which his brother sold. And so the comfort for us who believe Christ here is that Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able and who comes to redeem that which was sold, that which was lost by his brother. And it shows us that Christ has obtained redemption for every one of the children whom the Father gave to him as his promised bride. Christ fulfills this perfectly for us. And so Christ Jesus is the sinner's near kinsman redeemer. He's the mighty one. He has all wealth. He's rich of the Father. He has all the riches of God's glory and power and honor and majesty. He's everything. He has it all. And he comes who is able and willing to save his people from their sins. Our Lord, to do this, he took upon him flesh. He took upon him flesh, the likeness of sinful flesh, meaning that he's not born of Adam's corrupt seed, but he is man. He is the Son of God who took upon him this flesh, that he would come as the perfect fit sacrifice, able to lay down his life as the Lamb of God for the people, to give his life, to shed his blood, that we might be purchased by his blood and be delivered from our death and be given life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6, that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem, to purchase them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, because you are of the family of Christ, the near kinsman redeemer, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so our Lord is telling us that Christ has fulfilled all the law perfectly. He's met every requirement in order to be your fit sacrifice, to die in the place of you who have no hope in your own righteousness, you who need the blood of Christ to wash you and cleanse you from your sin. Christ paid it all. He's everything you need. He's everything that God requires. Believe him. Trust him. He's the one whom the Father sent to redeem his people, to deliver them from their death and their destruction. And so, now having obtained our eternal life, having obtained our purchase, he, by his gifts and by his inheritance, pours out his Spirit upon us, filling us with the Spirit of God, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father, save me, Lord. I need your grace. We only know that we need his grace because of his grace, filling us, our hearts, and making us to know that he alone is salvation, and I've got nothing in myself, nothing to bring to God, but he's provided everything in Christ. And so our God brings us out by his redemption and brings us into the light of Christ, whereby we know him and rejoice in him even now. So this deliverance, it begins with our God making us to see our need of his grace. And that's what we find here in verse 2. Ruth 2, verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And Naomi said unto Ruth, go, my daughter. Now, Ruth is poor, and Ruth is a widow. And on top of that, the scripture reminds us that this is Ruth the Moabitess. She's not an Israelite who's poor and a widow. She's Ruth the Moabitess who's poor and a widow in the land of Israel. She's a Gentile dog. She's a filthy sinner. She has no part in the inheritance of God's people. She's a stranger. And the only person she knows in Israel is her mother-in-law, Naomi. And that's it. Now, the law says in Deuteronomy 24, verse 19, the law says to any landowner, to anyone who's out harvesting in the field, that when thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. Naomi knows, she feels the hunger pain. She's made to know that she's hungry. Whatever provisions they brought up with them from Moab were running thin, maybe even run out. And they're hungry. They need food. They need to survive. And she's put in this, she's poor and she's in a very difficult position given the fact that she's a Moabitess in Israel. And so she knows, I need grace. I need to find grace in someone's sight. And, you know, the danger is that because she's a Moabitess, even though there were some that knew that Naomi was her mother-in-law and that she had shown kindness to her mother-in-law and was going with her into Israel, believing her God, still she could be a target to them who hated the Moabites and to them who would seek to take advantage of her being a woman and to do her harm. She was at great risk. She was at great risk having this need to feed herself. But the Lord is the one that gave her that need. The Lord knows exactly the danger that she's in. He knows the heart of every man, and he knows, but he's the one that purposed it. He's the one that brought this to pass and to give her this need and to make her know, I need grace. I need grace. And at some point, Ruth heard from Naomi this law, whether just in this moment or she had heard it and she came back to herself the way the prodigal son came to himself and realized, why don't I go to my father and serve him? He'll feed me. He'll take care of me. But whatever it was, the Lord brought this to her mind and she said, let me now go to the field. Maybe Naomi just said it. Oh, daughter, this is the law of the land. She said, well, hey, let me go out to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. I shall find grace. Ruth even understood that men have a way, an evil way of justifying themselves, even in the face of the law. And so Naomi went out there hoping not to meet the law, but to find grace. Lord, I don't want to meet you in the law. Let me meet you in grace, Lord. Receive me by your grace and your mercy in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so she went out there in need of grace, a powerful testimony that God worked in the heart of this stranger in Israel. Someone from the outside coming in, and she needs grace. And that's the grace that the Lord works in the hearts of his people. He brings us low. He brings us low in ourselves to see, I have a need, and I don't know. There's danger out there. Lord, there's much danger that could take me down and take me out and could harm me and do me great, great harm, Lord. But I need grace. I have a need, and I need grace. And that's what the Lord makes every one of his children to know, that if we die in our sins, we shall perish. We shall go to hell and suffer eternal death from God. But if we find grace, If we meet God in His grace, we'll have life, abundance of life in Him, and have what we need. Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, he said, "And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Now, in this next verse, we see how God cared for Ruth. Providentially, our God led Ruth to the field of Boaz, and He would lead her to Boaz. God, in providence, in gracious providence, leads Ruth to Boaz. Look at verse 3. "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Now that phrase, "her hap was," means she happened to light on a part or come upon a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. And that word that she happened to, it reminds me of when our Lord was speaking the parable of the Good Samaritan. And when He was declaring this parable, He said that by chance, when that Jew going to Jericho fell among thieves and was wounded and robbed and was laying there on the side of the road, the Lord said, by chance, there happened to come a certain. And He was speaking of, there was a certain priest that went by. And then there was a certain Levite that went by. And in our lives, there does seem to be various chance encounters, right? Things that just seem to happen and fall out to us. Things that just seem to, we don't have any control over. And many of us have happened to have these various experiences in religion and with religious people and people that have said this and said that and troubled us in this way and done us some harm in that way. And it just seems by chance these providential circumstances happen. But then a certain Samaritan comes along and does us much good, does something very unexpected that is for our spiritual good and for our comfort. And what we take from that, what we understand, is that nothing is happening by chance. It is not luck. It's not chance. Things just aren't happening out of control, in some out of control way. But our God is taking even insignificant, seemingly insignificant little details, and He's bringing them all to pass exactly as He purposes to bring it to pass. It's all happening according to the purpose of our God. It's all ordained by Him for your good, for your learning, for your instruction, for your being led to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would know Him, to know your need of Him. He gives you that need on purpose. And He brings you into those difficult, trying circumstances where we worry and fear and get ourselves all worked up about it. But in grace, He brings us to our knees. He brings us to see our need. He brings us to cry out to Him, "Lord, have mercy on me." Like that Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was sick. "Lord, help me. Help me. I'm the sinner in need here. Lord, help me. Be merciful to me as I hear your the merciful, gracious God to your people." Peter words it this way in 1 Peter 1, verse 2. He says, "Elect." We're the elect of God. "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied." And what our Lord is teaching us there is that His Spirit is sent by God to search us out and to separate us unto the purpose of God in grace. And he, the Spirit, leads us to behold the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished by the death of himself. And he sprinkles us with the blood of Christ. He washes us with the blood of Christ so that we, our sins are washed clean away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he makes us to know that what Christ accomplished in his obedience unto the Father has accomplished our redemption, our salvation. It's all, the works are finished from the foundation of the world. And so we've been separated unto this liberty, unto this light, unto this salvation and deliverance by the blood of Christ. And he reveals faith in us and makes us to follow him. We are become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that now we don't walk in darkness, but we walk in the light of our God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so Ruth was brought apart, she was set apart to a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. The Lord purposed that, and he led her there, that he might be gracious to her. And so when you reflect upon things that have happened, and sometimes we think of things, we think, what a horrible person I am. What a foolish decision I made. How stupid was I to do this or that? And we beat ourselves up and we dump all over ourselves. Just remember that your God has done it all on purpose and brought you here that you should know him, that you should see your need of him. We can't go and change any of those things. We are what we are. We're all sinners. We've all done things of which we're ashamed of. But God has provided our forgiveness in his Son. And he's led you to his Son. He's done it all on purpose in grace. And you're forgiven. You trust the Lord. Trust him. You that look to him and believe him, you keep looking to him. Because that's why God purposed it, to bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come to this time of love. In this next portion here, Boaz takes notice of Ruth. That's right, it's a love story, right? It is love. And Boaz takes notice of Ruth, and he takes an interest in her. And he speaks to his servants in her hearing, and they speak to the Lord of her. They're brought to speak of her and to speak well of her to the Lord, explaining who she is and why she's there. And we see that all these seemingly insignificant little details, they all picture what our Lord has done for us in grace. These little things, just like in your lives, these little things are all done on purpose to bring you right to where you need to be to hear this gospel and to feed upon the bread of heaven. So let's read verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." And there's a picture there where the Lord comes to his house. The Lord our God comes to where his people are gathered, the house that he builds, and he blesses his people. And his people are made to bless him and to worship our God. Our Lord says in Matthew 18:20 that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Your God is here in the house, in the midst of his people, to bless your hearts. To bless your hearts. Now, Boaz takes notice of Ruth here. Verse 5, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this? Whose damsel is this?" Now, Boaz is speaking to his servant. And he's speaking to his servant things that concern Ruth. These are things that Ruth has an interest in. These are things about her. And you can imagine Ruth sitting there, because she's right there. And Boaz, this mighty man, comes into his house. She knows it's his house because of the way he entered it and how all the servants look to him and spoke well of him and blessed him. And he says, whose servant is this? And or whose damsel is this? And Ruth realizes, he's talking about me. They're talking about me. They're saying words that concern me, that I have an interest in. This man is talking about me. Me. And what does that picture here? Well, our Lord speaks to his reapers, right? He speaks to his pastors and to his preachers about those in the house, about those that he's brought to the church. And those preachers speak with the voice in melody with the voice of God. We speak in unison with our Lord, declaring to you the gospel, the good news of what our God has done for his people. And you begin to hear things, you know, he's talking about me. I'm hearing things that concern me. He's not just talking about them over there or them over there. He's talking about me. And you begin to listen and to perk up and to hear, what is he saying? Lord, what is he saying about me? Why is he talking about me? And that's what the Lord does through his gospel, to make us know that our God has an interest in us. That's why you hear. You that hear that he's talking to you about you, you hear and know your God has an interest in you. He knows. He knows who you are, and he has an interest in you. And what the Lord is showing us there is that we come here, and God reveals faith in us. He's speaking to us. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why he gathers you to hear his gospel word. And so it is that the preacher labors in the field of the word of our God, and you follow along behind, gathering up the bread that falls, gathering up to hear that which the Lord has those sheaves of purpose which our God has dropped for you to gather up, that you should have bread, that you should have nourishment and feed upon those precious truths that our God gives to his people. And Boaz said in verse 8, he said, hearest thou not, my daughter? Do you hear the things that are being said to you, my daughter? And so he encourages the hearts of his people to listen up, to be attentive to what is being said, because he intends to bless his people, to do them good, and to do that which they have need of hearing. Now, also for your comfort, notice that the Lord burdens the heart of his pastors for you. Right? When Boaz said, whose damsel is this? Right? So it is that the Lord burdens the heart of his pastors for the Lord's people. And the Lord lays you on the heart of his people and says, well, who is this? Speak to me about this one. Talk to me about this one. What's their need? Why are they here? What do they have need of? In verse 6 and 7, the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. In other words, she's been out working all morning. She's been working hard. She's been following after the reapers and gathering up everything she could, and she's here in the house just for a brief time, but she's been out working hard. She hasn't been hanging out here all morning. It's just a little that she's tarried in the house. And so it is that our Lord burdens his pastors to supplicate the Lord, to speak to the Lord about his people, to pray for the Lord's people that he's gathered together into the house. But your blessings aren't because of me. It's not because I'm praying for you. All of us are blessed by the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's done because he intends to be gracious and merciful and to bless you with his might and his power and his spirit. All the blessings of God are poured out to you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's been the Lord Jesus Christ. And so The Lord then charges his servants, saying to them in verse 9, don't touch her, don't harm her. Don't you lay a hand on them to do them harm. And make sure you draw out water from the well, and you let her drink as much as she wants. Whenever she's thirsty, she can come and drink. And so he charges his pastors to know that, right? To remember that you're the people of God, and he's put his blessing on you and cares for you and intends to keep you and provide everything you need. Now, having heard, right, just like us, when we heard the gospel and said, he's talking about me. Well, now Boaz turns and speaks directly to Ruth. And that's what the Lord does for his people, right? Let's look at 8 and 9. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And that's what the Lord's saying to you, his people, is what he says in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 45, verse 22, where he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. And that's what Boaz is saying. Don't go to another field. You don't need to go to another field to be nourished or to have something that you lack. You'll find everything you need in the field of Christ. You come to the house of the Lord and he'll give you everything that you need. You don't lack anything. You'll be well provided for. No one's going to harm you. And they're going to draw out water from the well of Scripture, things that concern the Lord Jesus Christ. And you just come and drink all that you can take in. It's all for you. It's for the Lord's people. And so, as Boaz spoke to Ruth, the Lord is telling you, his child, trust me. Trust me. You keep looking to me. You stay upon me. And everything you need, Christ gives it to you. In Revelation 22, verses 16 and 17, we read, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you. An angel being a picture of the messenger of God. He's just the pastor. He's a pastor. And he's saying, I've sent my messenger, mine angel, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So that's what your God is doing. He's pouring out to you life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 10, we see the response that God's grace has worked in the heart of his child. And it's a humble and thankful response. Verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And so we see Ruth here is humbled by the tenderness and the kindness of Boaz for her. He's taken notice of her. He's spoken of her. And he speaks to her, assuring her of his providing care. He's speaking to her to comfort her heart. And she realizes, who am I to hear such wonderful words, seeing that I'm a stranger, I'm a sinner, I'm an outcast. Why should God be gracious to me? And that's what he brings his people to see and to cry out. That's the heart of the burdened sinner that comes in with that heavy load of sin and guilt and shame and can't free themselves of that burden. But when the Spirit leads us to Christ, to behold his obedience to the Father there on the cross, laying down his life, shedding his blood to put away the sin of his people, and he hears the voice of Christ who's cut that burden off and says, you're free. Go free. I've put away your sin. You just look to me. You trust me for everything. I've provided all. Then that sinner is freed of that burden and looks up, beholding the Lord Jesus Christ, and says, why are you being gracious to me, a stranger? I don't know why you're being gracious to me, what I've done. And the Lord says, you've done nothing. You've done nothing, but he keeps feeding you the gospel to behold that it's all the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we have, every blessing we're given, all that understanding and knowledge of our God, all those adorning doctrines and these scriptures all lead us to Christ, to behold that Jesus Christ is all in salvation. And that's what he keeps teaching us and leading us to behold. John says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And that's what your Lord is doing for you in the gospel of his son Jesus Christ. Now Boaz responds to Ruth, and he says in verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. And what Boaz is doing, as she's crying out, why you have mercy on me, he's assuring her of his knowledge of her. He's not made a mistake. He's taken an interest in her, and he knows all about her. Right? He knows everything, and that's the comfort that we receive in the Lord Jesus Christ when we begin to hear, and when he brings us once again to see everything he's done for us. And we coming as undeserving sinners and are brought again to see our filth and shame, he says, I know exactly who you are. I know what you've done. I know that you're a sinner and a stranger in Israel, but I know my purpose toward you, to be gracious to you. There's nothing that you've done that surprises me. I know exactly who you are and why I've called you, because you're mine. You're mine from the foundation of the world. I gave you to Christ. All right? Don't worry. There's nothing that's going to surprise me. I know exactly who you are, and I have an interest in you. And so the Lord still loves his people. He still loves us, even when we sin and fall and stumble and shame ourselves in our sin and filth. The Lord is telling us, I've put it all away in Christ. Peter says, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so having given Ruth assurance and declaring his interest in her and his willingness to help her in her great need, he says, verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now those words, under whose wings thou art come to trust, they hold a spiritual significance. The picture that we see there is that mercy seat. And there's the cherubim over the mercy seat, and they with their wings cover their eyes, and they cover the mercy seat, which is sprinkled with the blood of the sacrifice. All picturing that Christ is our mercy seat. And there's his blood sprinkling the mercy seat. And our God has brought us under those wings to behold the mercy seat of our Savior, sprinkled with his blood, in whom we receive mercy and forgiveness and have peace with our God. It's Christ's blood that atones for the believer's sins, washing us and providing everything that we have need of in himself. He's done this for you, his children. And therefore, now we have all in him, in his life, is our inheritance. And we find and come to know as he keeps bringing us here and feeding us with with his gospel bread, nourishing us and strengthening us and providing for us, we see, Lord, I'm all your workmanship. It's all of you. It's all of your grace. I've done nothing to deserve it, but you've provided it freely in grace. And so we see how Ruth set out seeking grace. She knew she needed grace. And that's what the Lord does for all his people. He makes you to know your need, and then he provides grace abundant and free to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray bless your hearts in that word. Amen.